Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord on tonight, which is Saturday, March the 11th, 2017. Yes, you are in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. And yes, we are coming to you live from Detroit, Michigan. We come to you live each Thursday night and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And yes, again, my special guest on tonight, again, for those that may be tuning in for the first time, my special guest each second Saturday night is in the person of Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be sharing with us another word from the Lord on tonight. Again, my guest for tonight is Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be coming forth to us, as long as the Lord says so, every second Saturday. So look forward to hearing his voice and get familiar with his voice. And I pray that you do have your Bibles and pens ready and some paper so you can take notes as we bring forth the word. But before we go any further, we always open up in prayer. So I'm asking all listeners if you would go into a word of prayer with me at this time. Dear God, Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. We come to give your name praise and glory and honor. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. We know that we are not worthy. We don't deserve it. But we just thank you for your agape love, your genuine love, your real love, Heavenly Father, for us. in spite of ourselves, you love us. You don't love our sin, but you love us in spite of ourselves. So we just say thank you for your agape love that changes not. So Heavenly Father, that's why we ask and pray that you will forgive us of all of our sins and all of our transgressions, starting with me. Forgive me, Heavenly Father, of all of my sins and transgressions, and then I lift up my entire family on all sides, Heavenly Father, from the oldest to the youngest in my entire family, that you will forgive each one of them of their sins and transgressions. And also my guest, Deacon Marvin Cox, and him and his entire family, forgive them of their sins and transgressions, Heavenly Father, so that our prayers and that the word on tonight will not be hindered, that it would accomplish everything that you have set it out to do on tonight, that you would be glorified through it on tonight. So, Heavenly Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name, that you would just forgive us again on tonight of all of our sins and our transgressions in Jesus' name. Now, Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted. I lift up my extended family, the Minifield family, on tonight. Heavenly Father, in the loss of their loved one who was funeralized on today. And so we pray, Lord, that you continue to comfort and strengthen that family. And not only them, Heavenly Father, but all those that have lost loved ones, for whatever the case may be, you know all about it. So we ask that you comfort and strengthen as only you can, because we know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So we know that you are a healer. You comfort and strengthen as no one can. So we pray and lift up all those that are bowed down, their heads are lifted and bowed down in sorrow on tonight. Comfort and strengthen in Jesus' name. And then, Lord God, we pray and lift up all those that are incarcerated behind prison bars for just and unjust reasons, those that are in nursing homes, hospitals, wherever they may be, in shelters, the homeless. We lift them up to you, Heavenly Father, and ask that you would move by your Spirit, touch the hearts and minds of those, Heavenly Father, that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is our prayer on tonight that something will be said on tonight, that those that are still spiritually blind, after hearing the word on tonight, they will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, your only begotten Son, that they would ask him to come into their hearts so that he could be saved in his name. They would ask to be saved in his name. They would surrender on tonight that they would be saved in Jesus' name, and then they would know their God purpose. Their faith will be strengthened and renewed as they hear your word. And then they will come to know their God purpose. They will walk in it and live in it and fulfill it in the earth for your glory, is our prayer on tonight in Jesus' name. So we pray, Lord, that you would just continue to move by your Spirit through us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this worldwide platform. We pray, Lord, that as we come forth each week, that you will help us to decrease even more so that you may be increased in us so we can be even greater doers of your word. We ask it all in Jesus' name on tonight. It's our prayer for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought, it comes in the form of a question. And it's addressed to all of us, including myself. Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, it comes in the form of a question. And it goes for me as well. And it is asking, am I a liability to God's kingdom, or am I scattering his flock? Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes in the form of a question. It's personal. Am I a liability to God's kingdom, or am I scattering his flock? So only you can answer that question. Only I can answer that question, because God truly knows if we are being liabilities or if we're scattering his flock. But we don't want to be either one of those. We want to be assets to the kingdom of God and draw souls to Jesus Christ that they can be saved in Jesus' name. So that's to do a great commission for those that are saved in Jesus' name, is to go into the hedges and the highways and compel men, women, boys, and girls that are still lost in sin, that they would come into a full knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, and they would be saved in his name and have a personal relationship with him and the Father. So that's our prayer for those that are listening on tonight that do not know Jesus Christ. It's our prayer that you be saved on tonight, for the blood of Jesus still works. It was working back then when he hung on the cross and paid the ultimate price with his own blood for the cleansing of our sins. That same blood still works today. All you got to do is believe in your heart, open your mouth, confess it with your mouth, and believe it in your heart, and then ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and so you could be saved in his name, and that you would know your God purpose and fulfill it in the earth, and that God be glorified through you. So on tonight, we have two announcements before I bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to bring forth a testimony first, and then I'm going to do a music break after that. Following the music break, Deacon Marvin Cox is going to come back to us and share with us, with us what God has placed in his heart for us on tonight through the word. So before he comes forth with his testimony, I have two announcements that I would like to share with the listeners. If you have pens and paper, you can take this information down. The first announcement that I thank God for my bishop, Bishop James A. Jennings. He is my bishop and pastor and shepherd. He is the pastor and shepherd of Shield of Faith Church, which is located at 13600 Van Dyke, which is also in Detroit, Michigan. Bishop James A. Jennings is celebrating his 27th pastoral anniversary at the Shield of Faith Church. Again, our church address is 13600 Van Dyke on the east side of Detroit, near 6 Mile, if you're in the area. His celebration is going forth every Sunday morning for the entire month of March. And every Sunday morning, we have a different pastor, different minister, different churches that comes in and are celebrating with us, with our pastor and shepherd, Bishop James A. Jennings, as he celebrates his 27th pastoral anniversary as the shepherd of Shield of Faith Church. So I want to give a great shout-out to my bishop and pastor, James A. Jennings, and to my church family, the Shield of Faith Church here in Detroit, Michigan. And my final announcement, I am so grateful and so pleased to announce that God has blessed and anointed my youngest sister. Her name is Sister Donetta Burney. She has an upcoming gospel stage play. And the title of her upcoming gospel stage play is titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge. Again, this upcoming gospel stage play is titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge, which will take place Saturday, May 13th, and then also Sunday, Mother's Day, Sunday, May 14th. It will all take place those 2 days. This upcoming gospel stage play titled, again, Opposite Ends of the Bridge, will be taking place Saturday, May 13th, and then on Mother's Day, May 14th, at the Northwest Activity Center Theater, Paul Robeson Theater, at the Northwest Activity Center here in Detroit, Michigan. Tickets are available. You can go through eventbrite.com for those that would like to purchase tickets in Detroit, Michigan, or you may be even in the Ohio area if you would like to come and share this this gospel stage play. Tickets are available through Eventbrite, eventbrite.com. Again, eventbrite.com. For those that are in Detroit, Michigan area, you can pick up tickets also at God's World, which is on West 7 Mile Road, and also at Globe Bible Bookstore on East Jefferson in Detroit, Michigan. So those tickets are available now, so you can start purchasing your tickets for this upcoming gospel stage play, again, presented by my youngest sister, Donetta Burney. Again, the title of the play is Opposite Ends of the Bridge, and it's going to demonstrate and show us how the enemy is still trying to kill and destroy and divide households and families and ministries. But the Lord has a way that he still uses children to use the word and bring forth families back together, mending families back together. And that's what we need more of today. And so that's what this play is all about. And you're going to see how the Lord works through these different vessels to bring families back together, and that God will be glorified and God gets the glory through it. So we thank God for this upcoming stage play, and prayerfully that you will be able to purchase your ticket and enjoy the play. So right now we're going to ask Deacon Marvin Cox to come forth, and he's going to share a testimony with us. And following his testimony, we're going to do a music break. And after the conclusion of the music break, we're going to yield the mic over to Deacon Marvin Cox. But before he do his testimony, I would like to ask all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels, and then click on follow. Again, I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels and click on follow. I do welcome all feedback and comments from my listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, right at this time, Deacon Marvin Cox, could you please share with the worldwide listeners another testimony, please? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox. I don't know what's going on with Deacon Marvin Cox. I see his line is lit up on my phone here. Deacon Marvin Cox. Praise the Lord. The enemy is a liar. We praise the Lord, but we know how the enemy, when you say the word is going to go forth. Hello, Deacon Marvin Cox.
Yes, sir.
Yes, praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox. Yes, we was asking for you to share with the worldwide listeners, if you would please share with us another testimony. And following your testimony, we're going to go into a music break, and then following the music break, I'm going to come back and yield the mic to you so that you can share God's word with us on tonight. But first, would you please share with us another testimony, and then we will go into our music break. Praise the Lord. Deacon Marvin Cox, call just dropped again. Praise the Lord. Well, while we're waiting on Deacon Marvin Cox to come back on the line, I'm going to praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox. Okay, he's going to dial back in. Well, while we're waiting on Deacon Marvin Cox to call back in, I'm going to do a different music break. And then when he comes back on, and then he share his testimony with us, and then we're going to go right back into this final music break before he comes back and share the word. So here we are.
Cover me, Lord. Brother Brown.
With eyes. Not
David. Hello?
Oh, come. Praise the Lord. Deacon Marvin Cox, can you hear me now?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you now. Praise the Lord. I was trying to do a music break while we were trying to get you back on the line, but we do have you back on the line now. The devil is a liar. So I was asking you, Deacon Marvin Cox, if you would please share with the worldwide listeners, could you please share with us another testimony? And following your testimony, I'm going to do a music break, and then after the conclusion of this music break, I'm going to come back and yield the mic to you so you can deliver God's word on tonight. But please share with us another testimony first.
Okay. I give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, to God my Father, and to all of my Father's children, to you, Brother Brown, and to all the listeners and everybody in their prospective place, all my Christian brothers and sisters. It is indeed an honor and a glory to be in the land of the living. I thank God for waving death away from me. Thank God for the activities of my limb. I have muscular dystrophy, but I still have activities of my limb. It could be worse. My parents always told me that if you think that you're in bad shape, you know, you complain about one shoe missing, you go down the road a little bit further, you'll see a man that has no feet. So I'm just thankful for what God has done to me and what God has done for me. I think the most wonderful thing in the world that God has given me, And that's a good attitude. I thank God because I look for the good in everything and everybody. Even when it seems that an individual is not worthy of anybody's company, I still pray for that individual. I just thank God. He's good. His mercy endures forever. I thank him for blessing my family. I thank him for allowing me to be married to the same woman for 35 years. That's truly a blessing. I just, you know, to make it, to see my children grow, to be able to just have the activities of my limb, to be able to go in the kitchen and cook, to be able to just hear, to be able to see, to smell. I just thank God for these, we call them simple blessings, but I just thank God for blessing me and blessing me more abundantly. Those that know the work and the strength as well as the power of prayer, pray much for me and with me, that we all grow stronger in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, see, Deacon Marvin Cox, that's why I always ask my guests to share testimonies, because you are a living example of what God is really talking about. Even though you could use your handicap as an excuse, but you don't. You're still being a doer of God's word. You're still sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, prayerfully and hopefully that someone gets saved through the word by you being a vessel that the Lord is using. You are an ambassador. You're a servant. You are a mouthpiece for the Lord. And again, you could use your health issue as an excuse, but God has been so good to you, and I hear it in your testimony. That's why you are so faithful and dedicated to the Lord, and you do it with your whole heart. And so that's what God looks at, and he gets glory out of it. So that's why he still let you continue to be here, and still even while you're going through your health issues, he still uses you because you desire to be used by him, because you know it's not about you, it's about Jesus. And so I thank God for you that he's still allowing you to be a mouthpiece for him to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, just like you're going to do again on tonight. You always bring a powerful word. So I thank God for putting you in my life, and I'm able to share this worldwide platform with you. I don't take that lightly. Because, again, I was telling the audience before you came on, you know, and it's true. Sometimes the Lord will open a door for some people and bless them, and they think that it's all about them. No, it's not just for you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. We're just vessels, mouthpiece. We are ambassadors. We're vessels and servants to be used by God. Because he said in his word, greater works that we're going to do, because Jesus had to leave and go back to heaven. So we are doing the greater works through the internet, through cable network, through telephones. So that's how we've been able to do greater works that Jesus was talking about when he had to go back to glory. And he's now sitting at the right hand of God making intercessions for the saints. So I'm grateful for that on tonight. And I thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox for always sharing a powerful testimony. So God gets his glory again through our testimonies. And that lets others know that if God did it for you, Deacon Marvin Cox, and I know for sure I'm a living witness that he's doing it through you, because I know you and I've seen you physically. So I know what God is doing through you, and you're doing it from your heart out of love for God and for the love of people and souls that they be saved. That's what it's all about. So I thank God for you for sharing this powerful testimony. Again, God gets his glory through our testimonies. That's why it's so important that we share them, that lets others know that if God did it for you, the same God, because he has no respect to a person. If he did it for me, he did it for you, he can do it for others that are listening that may be weak in their faith, or that may don't have enough belief in God to think that he's able to do it. Because his word lets us know that there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing impossible for God to do. All you got to do is open in your mouth and believe it in your heart, and don't doubt, and ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, not wavering, not doubting, but knowing that sooner or later, in God's time, he's going to do just what you requested. And if he's especially if he's going to be glorified through it. So we thank God for that testimony, Deacon Marvin Cox. And right now, listeners, we're going to go to this music break, because we know that Jesus Christ, he thought that our life was worth living so much so that he came down from glory. He took it upon himself, and he came down and paid the ultimate price with his own precious sinless blood. And he paid that debt with his shed blood, by the shedding of his blood, so that we can be redeemed and saved and redeemed back to our Heavenly Father and our Creator, our Heavenly Father God. So I thank God for Jesus Christ. And for this, we're going to play Worth Living. I thank God that Jesus thought we were worth it, that he died for us. So take a listen to this song and take it to heart and enjoy.
You thought I was worth saving. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was worth saving. You thought I was worth saving. You sacrificed your life.
praise the Lord, praise the Lord on tonight. I thank God for Jesus, that he thought our life was worth living, that he died in our place, that only he could pay our sin debt, and I'm so grateful that he did. I know that I am not the only one on tonight. Well, right now we're going to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to bring forth the word again on tonight. And again, I pray and hope that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper so that you can take and notes and follow along with him as we go through the word on tonight. So, Deacon Marvin Cox, at this time I am yielding the mic to you to deliver God's word.
Amen. May we bow our heads, please. Gracious Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come thanking and praising you for once again giving us an opportunity to express your word. My Father, we ask, if it be thy will, my Father, that you touch the hearts and the minds, my Father, those that is up under the sound of my weak voice. My Father, let them know through your word, my Father, that there's a reality of serving a true and a living God. Father, we ask that my spirit decrease, my Father, and your spirit increase in me, my Father, none of me, but all of you. My Father, we ask that you bless those that are going through problems, my Father. We ask that you heal the sick. Father, we call your attention, my Father, to the turmoil that is going on. But, my Father, we know that you already know. My Father, we ask that you allow us to be intercessors, my Father, that know not you. Father, we just ask that you bless in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you continue to put your loving arms of protection around us, my Father, and lead us and guide us from one good degree into another. My Father, we ask these and all blessings in your Son Jesus' name. In his name we do pray. Amen. I'm going to go right into the lesson. I thank God for, as I say, this opportunity, because this is an opportunity. I could have been doing something else less productive than breaking God's word forth. Now, we have a good lesson tonight that the Lord has given me, and we're going to start this lesson off by asking a question. And hopefully, if it be God's will, now I planned on at the end of answering the question, but you never know when you bring forth God's word what direction he's going to send you in. Sometimes your plans, sometimes your notes don't exactly, you don't stick to the schedule. As I say, sometimes when you go to different places, the program is subject to change. We might start off telling people one thought that we had concerning God's word, but it might not be what God wants them to hear at that particular time. So, and going forth, the question that is asked is, what time is it? And it's coming from the book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 9. And it reads, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. Okay, we're going to stop right there. Now, King Solomon, if you notice, the wording was very careful. It says, a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, in studying, I have to inform you that these were the thoughts of Solomon. They were divine thoughts, but he was in the spirit when he brought forth these things, because he was bringing about opposite things that we naturally look at. We look at things one way, and then we look at the opposite. And there's a few verses in here, when I get to them, I'll point it out to you, that they were basically the thoughts of man. It says, a time to be born and a time to die. Okay, now we're going to stop right there. Now, we know that in this fleshly tabernacle that we have, we know that gestation period, which is 9 months while we are in our mother's womb, it takes us 9 months for that gestation period, or sometimes a little sooner, for us to be born into this world. But the minute Whether we know it or not, the minute we're born, we begin to die. We know that only God knows, because it's already preordained and predetermined by Him the day that we will exit this earth. But as I was saying, Solomon was letting each and every last one of us know that it's a season. And sometimes we could be rotting on the vine when it comes down to God's word. We could be dying physically. We could be dying mentally. We could be dying spiritually and not even know it. But we also can be born, because one of the saints asked, well, you know, how could I be, you know, sarcastically, how could I be born again if I don't enter my mother's womb for the second time? So we know that there is a time to be born, which is our introduction to things. Okay, now moving right along, it says a time to pluck up that, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. We know that the seeds, we know that in order to plant something, you need a seed. Whether it's a spiritual seed, whether it's a seed of doubt, or whatever, in order for something to be planted. And we're going back to the season. It says a time for every season. It's a season and a purpose for everything up under the sun. So we asked ourselves, what time is it? Is it a season for me to receive that seed that God is sending out there in order for me to grow, in order for it to grow inside of me? And we know that normally the planting season is normally early in the springtime, when the ground is probably at its most nourishing best. Now we know that it's a time to pluck up that which has been planted, which when we look at it, normally it's the harvest time. Normally it's the fall. So we're dealing with seasons. We're dealing with, and we're also dealing with reasons. And Solomon's word and his understanding at this particular time, as I said, is dealing with opposites. We have seven opposites that we have here. Say a time to kill and a time to heal. As I previously stated to you, when we think about killing and we look at God's word over in Exodus, God's word says, thou shalt not kill. So we have to say to ourselves, wait a minute, that's a contradiction. God's word is saying thou should not kill. But Solomon here is saying it's a time to kill. But see, let me straighten that out for you. In Solomon's state of mind, he was letting us know that there will be a time of warfare. There will be a time of great conflict, whereas people will get to the point where they would take each other's life. Because, see, this right here, this particular verse is not legitimizing murder. Because people say, well, you know, over in Ecclesiastes says it's a time to kill. But we know that during warfare, we know that specifically during spiritual warfare, that people will lose their lives. But some of us will lose our life to gain everlasting life. If I submit myself to the Lord wholeheartedly, then He promised me that I will have life and it most abundantly. So I must do one thing in order for me to live. I must die and die to the world. It says a time to break down and a time to build up. Now we know in our hearts and in our minds, in order to build up, we must break down. We must gather together the materials that we need in order for a renovation. There's some things that's in that new apartment that is not up to code. So we know that it's a time to break down. It's a time for us to lay prostrate on the ground and submit ourselves wholeheartedly to the Lord. And in order for us to do that, because if in order for us to rise, some of us must reach rock bottom because we repetitiously do the things that we know that is against God. So God's word is letting us know that we got to break things down. Solomon is letting us know that we got to break things down in order for us to build up. You have to clear the land. You have to do all these things that's necessary in order for us to move on from there. It says it's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Well, Brother Brown instructed us earlier. He said that he went to a funeral and someone's loved one had passed away. And I'm more than sure that to those that were not in the Lord, that some of them just openly wept. But then when they thought about that individual at the same time, when they thought about the relationship that they had with that individual, because funerals will make you laugh and cry at the same time. So we know that it's a time to weep, excuse me, and it's a time to laugh. It says a time to mourn. Wait a minute now, hold on. The same like weeping and mourning is the same thing. But they're not, because when you weep, it's just something you just overflowing with emotion. You just can't control yourself any longer. But when you mourn, see, mourning goes for a longer extended period of time. It's in a time to dance. So we're going to look at this dancing as it's a time to rejoice. It's a time to be happy. It's a time to be unhappy because of the weeping, because of the mourning, but it's also a time for each and every last one of us to rejoice, to dance. Say a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. And once again, this goes back to building things. In order for you to build on anything, the first thing that you must do is that you must clear the land. You must make sure that that spot that you're about to build on is free of debris. You got to make sure that when you build that foundation and put that foundation in the ground, that it will be nothing to disrupt that foundation. There will be nothing to make that foundation wave. It has to be flat. So we have to clear the land. And then we're able to build. It says a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's going to be some times when we're not ready, or we're not able, or we don't feel like embracing our brothers because of some offense that they may have committed against us. And God's word is simply stating that whatever emotions that we may have, that we're entitled to sometimes to push away or not allow something to come into our space, that we are rejecting spiritually. We have to be able to, you know, when we meet our brother, say, meet your brother with a holy kiss. So we have to show them and I can't speak for anybody else, but when I'm happy to be somebody, see someone, and my wife is the same way, she openly embraced them. She's so glad to see them that she just got to give them a hug. But sometimes when an individual offends you and we feel that they're not worthy of that hug, then we just, no, I don't feel like that. And it's, say, a time to get and a time to lose. This means that everything that we get from the first job to the first this to the first that, it just running in a cycle, just like a season. A season runs in cycles. So that same car, that same 1985 Cadillac that we coveted so much, we don't have it anymore. So it's a time to get, it's a time to accumulate, it's a time to receive the blessings of God, but these blessings are only temporary in order for us to get to the next phase in our life. So Solomon is just, as I say, he's letting us know of the things that we have in our life that are just temporary. All these things are just temporary. It says a time to keep and a time to cast away. Well, that should be easy to explain right there. It's a time for me to keep the word of God in my heart. It's a time for me to cast away foolish things. It's a time for me to keep the promises that I made to God. It's a time for me to cast away anything that would be detrimental unto me working out my soul salvation. It says, a time to rend and a time to sow. Okay, now we're going into the fashion world momentarily. It's a time to rend, which means it's a time to tear apart things. When you rend something, you tear it off. You make it into many pieces. And it's a time to sow. And it's not S-E-W. I mean, S-O-W is S-E-W. Because sometimes if we don't explain the word, because it's a synonym, or it's a word that sounds like, but it's got a totally different meaning, so a totally different meaning. So it's a time to sow. It's a time for us to stitch back together the tapestry of our heart, so our heart be in one piece when we go into the house of prayer. Because a lot of times our heart is in so many different pieces that we don't get the full benefit of a good church service. Because our heart is here, our heart is there, our heart is thinking about this, our heart is thinking about that. So it's going to be some times where we got to sew our heart back together, got to do the things that's necessary in the name of God, because sometimes we even have to sow and patch up our relationships. Sometimes that we have to go and pull things back together because we have an ought against our brother. So it's a time for us to tear things apart, but it's also a time for us to put things back together. And I'm more than sure that anybody that's come from the South are familiar with our grandparents and their parents making a quilt, which they've taken all these different patches where they then took the scissors and they rend material that was not at that time usable, but then they turned it to a beautiful quilt. It says it's a time to love and a time to hate. Well, when we love unconditional. When we hate, wait a minute, this almost sounds like another conflict, but it's not. Because God told us to love ye one another as he hath loved us. So this seems like this would be a direct contradiction to God's word. When we hate, but in his word, he said, unless ye hate your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, I'm just paraphrasing, yea, even yourself, you cannot be a disciple of mine. So it's got to be some things that we hate, some things that we detest, because anything that you hate, you're not going to even go in the presence of those things that you hate. Now, things that you don't like, that's a different story, but the things that you hate, you're going to try to put as much distance between yourself and that hate as you possibly can. It says a time to keep silent and a time to speak. How many times have we been offended by somebody And we said, I'm going to tell that brother about himself. I ain't going to let that brother get away with it. But God's word is letting us know it's a time to just shut up. It's a time to move ourselves out the way. But then it says also it's a time to speak. We got to determine to ourselves when is that time to speak. Because see, we're going to be held accountable for those times that we should have spoke up for the Lord, but we kept silent. Because see, God says in his word that he would go our bond. He's the one that says that vengeance is his and he shall repay. So sometimes we got to move that, get our egotistical ways out of the way so that God, because if you think about it, when they was on the verge of crucifying the Lord, the events that led up to the Lord's crucifixion, it says that he said not a word. He mumbled not a word. Now, when a person is in agony, when is a better time to say, you're treating me bad, you shouldn't do this, you know, I disapprove of this, or I disapprove of that. But he said not a mumbling word. So we have to know when that time comes that we should just zip our lip. And on the other hand, it's a time to speak. When someone is going against the ordinances of God, that is the time for us to speak. That is the time for us to say, no, 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 no. You're wrong. When our brother is wrong, that's the time for us to speak. Because if we don't say nothing, they will take our not speaking to our brother as we condone it. We go along with it. But we're supposed to voice our disapproval when somebody goes against what it is that God will have them to do. Okay, moving right along. It says, it says a time of war and a time of peace. There's going to be war. There's going to be conflicts. There's going to be differences of opinion. And Solomon, as I was saying, he was speaking in the natural when he spoke a few of these things, especially concerning hate and killing and so forth and on. But he was just leaning into his own understanding, because going back to verse number 1, it says a time, there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So Solomon was dealing with, as I digress, he was dealing with earthly matters. He was dealing with, how they say, moral values. But it was inspired by God. Now, verse number 9 said, what profit he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? This is asking the question. As to what, if I was to break it down, say, what benefit had he that worketh that wherein he laboreth? What is the purpose of me going through what I'm going through, or you going through what you're going through, if there is no reward at the end? If there is no compensation for the labor that you put forth? Now, my brothers and my sisters, I started off by asking you what time it is. I have a few scriptures and a few notes that I wrote down that will explain why this question was asked and give us some insight on some of the things that we should do. I asked, what time is it? 1 Corinthians lets us know, I think it's 11th chapter, somewhere near the 20-something verse. I'm not sure exactly what verse it is, but it reads, it says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So it's time for me to look at myself, for us to look at ourselves in a mirror. I mean, you know, might say examine ourselves. This means that I have to take a mental evaluation of myself. I have to ask myself, am I ready to commit? Because see, he that drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. So when I examine myself, I'm asking, am I truly ready to do what it is that the Lord would have me to do? Am I ready to make that full commitment? It's time for me, it's time for us to watch and to pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's Matthew 26 and 41. It's time for us to do that, my brothers and my sisters. It's time for us to watch and pray. We've got to do it in tandem, one with the other, because if we're praying and we're not watching, then anything can sneak up on us. And it's time, my brothers and my sisters, for each and every last one of us to be more charitable to those that's less fortunate than us. It's time, my brothers and my sisters, for us to come down from our sycamore tree and quit looking down on people. Because the Lord is on the way to your house. You'll see him when he gets there. And we know that Zacchaeus had a good thought. He was a short man because he wanted to have a better view of the Lord as he was passing by. But the Lord told him, come down. Why? Because no one is above the Lord. And from a high vantage point, what do? You look down on people because of you, because of the position that you hold, because of that high place, that lofty place that you have. But it's time for each and every last one of us to come down. So it's time for us to go out into the highways and the byways and to compel people to come in into the house of prayer. Time for us to put forth that effort. It's time for us to stop saying, I got mine, you got to give yours. Because, see, if we don't give them, it's a lot of people, whether you know it or not, that is waiting for your invitation to come into the house of prayer. I mean, many people say, well, I want to go to church, but don't nobody invite me. It's up to us. It's not up to the preachers. It's up to us. It's up to the people, the lay people, to say, you know, why don't you come and go into the house of prayer with me? And then make provisions for them to get there. It's also, it's time to put our differences aside and for us to reconcile. Because Matthew says, if my brother got an ought against me, I'm paraphrasing once again, for me to bring my gift, but to leave my gift at the altar and go and reconcile with my brother and then come back. So my brothers and my sisters, it's time for us to forgive. It's time for people to forgive us, to go and reconcile what our brothers who we feel that have trespassed upon our sensibilities. Time for us to do that. It's time for us to go and check on that widow down the street that think nobody loved her. It's time for us to go and cut her grass or go to the store for her. She might not even let us in, but say, well, Miss Maybell, you know, your grass is getting kind of tall and I, you know, sent my son down there to cut it. Ain't no charge, don't worry about it. So it's time for us to start looking out for other people. It's time for us to spend more time with our parents, with our grandparents, with our children, with our grandchildren. It's time. It's time for us to push away those tablets, push away those computers, push away those selfies, and concentrate on somebody other than ourselves. Say, it's time for us to give more time to the Lord and his house. God's word says, forsake not to assemble yourself in the house of prayer. It's time for us to attend more church services. It's time for us to make our presence felt in the house of prayer. It's time to be a peacemaker instead of a peacebreaker. It's kind of move distraction out of our life so we can see the Lord. In Isaiah 6th chapter, it says, in the year King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. So the king was distracting Isaiah from seeing the Lord. What distractions or what obstacles do we have in our way that's stopping us from seeing the Lord? I said, finally, and it's time to stop coveting my neighbor's wife. It's time to stop stealing and stop killing. It's time to obey the Ten Commandments. It's time for me, it's time for us to look at each other, and see brothers instead of seeing foreigners and strangers. Amen. We thank God for giving us these words. We thank God for allowing us to bring these words to you. So each and every last one of you can come to the conclusion that it's time for us to do something for the Lord, a little bit more than what we've been doing. May God bless you, and may he ever keep you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a powerful question on tonight. And that's for each one of us, saved and unsaved. What time is it? What are you doing for the Lord? And for those that are saved, are you walking in your God purpose? Are you fulfilling your God purpose in the earth? Are you being selfish and thinking it's all about you? That's the question for tonight. What time is it? When are you going to start giving God more time? Stop thinking about just you, me, myself, and I. God gave you a purpose, so you're going to stand before God one day and give an account for your time. Some people don't believe it, but you know we're all going to leave here. If Jesus don't come first, we're going to leave this world and go back to the dust from which we came, and we're going to stand before God and give an account of the time that he allotted us while we was on earth. So right at this time, we're going to close out. Thank you so much, Deacon Marvin Cox, for another powerful word on tonight. As we get ready to close out, we always close out in prayer. We're going to close out again, asking all listeners to go in prayer with us. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come again to say thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us in spite of ourselves. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works. Thank you that you are still in control no matter what it looks like. We thank you for who and all that you are. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you that you always forgive us if we open our mouth and seek you and ask for forgiveness. You said we have not because we ask not. So we're asking again that you will forgive us on tonight of all of our sins and transgressions, that our prayers may not be hindered, that you will be glorified through our works. In Jesus' name is our prayer on tonight. Continue to bless the listeners. Continue to move by your spirit in the earth and through all those that are being doers of your word. It's our prayer in Jesus' name on tonight. Amen. Well, know that I love you, listeners. Believe me, know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Good night.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. If you ain't too cute to say it, help the